Hello, welcome to the Made for Greatness podcast where we seek to unpack what it means to be made for greatness. And the theme is based on quotes attributed to Pope Benedict XVI, where he says, "The world offers you comfort, but you are not made for comfort, you are made for greatness." And the greatness that Pope Benedict refers to in this context from his encyclical Spes Salvi is the greatness of God himself. It's not this greatness that the world offers, it's not prestige, it's not wealth, it's not popularity, it's not social, ranking, it's none of that stuff. It's the greatness of God himself. But the challenge that Benedict says is that our hearts are too full and too small to be filled with the greatness of God, and they got to be both purged and stretched. That sounds like a tall order, but nothing's impossible with God. Remember, we serve the God of the molecules, the God who created the atoms, the God who created everything out of nothing. And if he created everything out of nothing, then he can work with you little by little to help you stretch your heart and to empty your heart of these things that fill it up. So blessed be God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing possible. That's a loose quote, by the way. Just in case you're wondering. And I should seems like a good time to say this. This is not a scripture. I'm not a scripture professional. I'm not a scholar. That's what I'm trying to say. This is very off the cuff. And so if you want to look for something that's more polished, more, dotted I's and crossed T's, I'll tell you right now, just go somewhere else. I'm going to try my best. But this is nothing that's going to be, earth-shattering, or you're not going to walk away with a degree. I mean, it'd be great if you want to. I can sign a piece of paper and say, "Hey, I got a degree on from listening to this Made for Greatness thingy." Signed. There you go. I'll put it in the mail for you. Okay, so let's go to the readings for today. I'm going to focus on only the first reading for today, which is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. Now, here we go. So in the heading in my Bible, which is the RSV Bible, the Revised Standard Version, which I really like. I like this translation. The heading is "The Believers Pray for Boldness." So it starts here, verse 32. "Now the company of those who believed were of one heart, soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not anyone needy among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was surnamed by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field which belonged to him, and brought the money and laid it to the apostles' feet." There we go. This is the reading from today, and I find that this reading is used a lot in political dialogue as a way to somehow justify communism, or maybe even its softer cousin, but still related, socialism. I'm not going to get into politics too much here. I enjoy politics. I struggle with not getting into it in certain situations where it's just not appropriate, but that's not my take. But I will say this. I think that people are if they're going to read communism into this thing, that's not how you read scripture. We don't read into it certain political movements. We don't read into scripture certain points of view or certain perspectives. We read out of scripture what God wants to say. And as I say that, I got to understand in my own self the inability for me to understand what God wants to say to me. I am unable sometimes, at the best of times, to hear precisely what God wants me to do. I struggle with that, as do we all. And if you don't struggle with that, my friend, purge that vinegar from your heart, because you're deceiving yourself. All right? We try our very best. We look at certain fruit. I look at certain fruit of things. You can tell a tree by its fruit, right? I'm sure you've heard that scripture verse, or at least that idea. And for me, I look at a few things. I look at the reaction of my activity among the people that are impacted directly, whether that's leadership involved, whether that's people we're ministering to, whether that's people that I'm ministering with. I look at those things, and are they saying, not necessarily compliments, but are they benefited by the work that I do? You know, I look at those things. I look at the impact on my family of my own activity. Is my family being detrimentally impacted by my activity? That doesn't have to be a yes or no answer. That could be a little bit of gray, as many of these things are. I look at my own spiritual growth. Is my spiritual growth impacted in any way? Is it, am I growing? Am I stagnating or am I backsliding? Those are all things I look at. Good fruit and bad fruit. And hopefully I have good mentors. I know that I have good mentors. But hopefully you are able to look at your life in the same way too. I think it's a good way to look at it. And as you look at these things in your life, I hope that you have good mentors, including good spiritual director, including good friends that would be honest with you about your activity and inactivity. So, you know, you can tell a tree by its fruit, and I think it's very evident. Now, I don't remember why I went there. I apologize. That's okay. Let's move on. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. So this thing here that's cool, this verse 30, it says, "And with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Now the Greek here for great power is actually megas and dunamis. So mega dunamis. Now dunamis, if you recall, I said this, talked about this dunamis word a lot of times here. Now please, I'm going to caveat this, because just because I feel like I have to, I am not a biblical scholar, and neither am I a linguist. I got an app that I love called Verbum, and it goes through the definition of each of these words in Hebrew and in Greek, and I really like it. So I'm going to look up this app called Verbum. In the Strong's Biblical Concordance, it references these two words as megas and dunamis. Now, mega is like this great thing, and dunamis, of course, is this potentiality to power, this potential to act. Is not an automatic thing that God has given us when he gives us his dunamis. From the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, around there, where God says to us, you know, Jesus says to us, that we will receive this power, this dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we'll be his witnesses to the ends of the world. This word for dunamis, as I said, is the potentiality. It's a word of potential. Not something that automatically happens just because the Holy Spirit came upon you at baptism, confirmation, and the sacraments, when you celebrate the sacraments. It's not going to come on you right away. It's something that you've got to choose, willingly and freely choose. And the more that we willingly and freely choose these things, God himself will act. But we've got to say yes. We've got to allow him to act. So, and this, the thing that's important to point out here is this story is on the heels, is I think it's the bookend of a frame from chapter 3 to the end of chapter 4 that starts off with Peter and John healing a lame beggar. It starts there and it ends here where it says, "And with great power, with mega dunamis, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace was upon them all." This is almost like a bookend to this chapter that starts off with Peter and John healing this beggar. And the beautiful thing that I want to point out is this. Peter and John both recognize their inadequacy. Peter and John both recognize that they literally have nothing, financially nothing, that they can give to this beggar who's begging from them on the street. I'm going to read that little part to you too. It's from chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And I'm going to read it, and hopefully we can discover what this means together. It says here, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms." So this isn't too far removed, it sounds like, from when he was dropped off. "And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I want to talk briefly. This is going to be the point of what I'm saying about what I want to talk about today. Is I want to talk briefly about Peter saying, I have no silver and gold. Now, I just got off the heels of this mission trip, and it was a beautiful, grace-filled time where I personally learned a lot about my own leadership ability, lack of leadership ability, my own ability to retain information, deal with multiple things happening at the same time, and learning also what it means to minister and to serve and to pour out my heart to others. And at the beginning of the week, and I've gone on a few of these things already, and almost every single time I hear the men in the group, because, you know, there's discussion groups being formed, and I'm with the boys because I'm a man, and I can only ever be a man, no matter how I feel. You know, I guess politics aside, whatever. The men in the group often say, you know, I feel so inadequate. I've got nothing to give. There's so much need here where we serve, and I've got nothing to give them. I can't do my gifts that I think I have. I can't preach. I can't necessarily minister to them in any way that I might feel is an acceptable form of ministry to other people. I can't do those things. And so therefore, because I can't do this performative action that I'm used to, I've got nothing. And this feeling of inadequacy is so strong as when people come in. And even for myself, it's so strong. And I think that this feeling is a massive blessing because it forces us to come to terms with reality that, like Peter, I have no silver and gold. I have nothing to give you. But what I do have is God. What I do have is dunamis. What I do have is dunamis. Is this potential, this explosive potential, this explosive power of grace that God has given me as his servant to share with others and to benefit their lives, that they will be physically healed, that they will be spiritually restored and healed, that they would testify to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as new creations in Christ. But this dunamis comes from me, a person who is merely an instrument. Merely an instrument. And I mean that. I mean, I might have a form. I might have a shape like an instrument has form. But an instrument by itself without wind blowing through it, if I think of a wind instrument like a saxophone or a flute or a clarinet, I'm just sitting in the corner doing nothing unless the wind blows through me. A guitar. Think of a guitar in the same thing as an analogy for you and I. Unless the artist strums the guitar. Unless the artist places his fingers on the proper spots on the neck, I will never, ever play a song. So think of you and I as these instruments. Now think of you and I as these instruments. And think of this dunamis thing. I think this is interesting. And I'm just spitballing this thing here, but this image of an instrument in a box. And unless the box is opened up, it'll never really be played. Right? You with me? Dunamis is like that. Dunamis is that activity of opening up the box so that the artist can play the instrument. Being freely ready and willing to be used by the artist to sing and to play a beautiful song. For here in this gospel, in this reading from Acts of the Apostles, and for you and I, wherever we are in this world, this beautiful song is a song of salvation. This beautiful song is this song of love that God wants to sing from all of eternity to every single person who was ever created and ever will be created. And the responsibility for you and me, the onus on us, comes from being willing to say with Peter, I have nothing to give you but dunamis. I have nothing to give you but dunamis. And until we actually admit that I have nothing to give but dunamis, then I think that our work within our world can only go so far. It's not like, you know, it's not like there has to be a threshold, you know? I don't think that there's a threshold. Or what I mean is, like, there has to be a, you know, you have to say, you have to do certain things in certain ways in order for God to use you. I mean, yeah, that there's a case to be made for that. Sure. I'm not going to deny that. But what I mean is this. I'm not sure how to say this exactly. All that you and I have to do is say yes. That's really all that you and I will have to do. And God will do the most that he possibly can through us and in us. All we've got to do is say yes. And I think that the more that we say yes, the more that this gap opens up, or the more that this floodgate opens up for God's grace to come pouring through, the more strength is given to the vocal cords of us, of this song, through our bodies. The more in tune the guitar is by us saying yes and yes and yes and yes, and us also saying, God, I have nothing to give but you. And asking him with courage to say, Lord, show me how I have nothing to give but you. Show me this, please. And I think that sometimes this feeling of inadequacy is a tremendous grace, because it forces us to not only, one, admit that we've got nothing to give, but dunamis. And then the more that we recognize this reality, the easier and the bigger that the door of our hearts opens up for God to song, to sing through us louder and louder and more clear as time progresses. Now, with this word of inadequacy, I say that sometimes, I think, you know, most times probably, but we also have to keep in mind that Satan loves inadequacy too. He wants us to stay inadequate. He really does, in a way that, what I mean by that is, he wants us to stay in a place where we'll never grow, stay in a place where we'll never learn, stay in a place where we'll never develop. And he also loves inadequacy by the guilt that we feel in it. God's grace does not communicate through grace. Pardon me. God's grace does not necessarily communicate through guilt. You know, sometimes he can use a sense of guilt for our own mistakes, but for inadequacy, pal, if you're feeling negative and down and distraught and depressed about your own inadequacy, then that's Satan playing you. You know, I'm almost tempted to give a little bit of caveat to that, but no, inadequacy is a blessing when God uses it, and inadequacy hinders us when Satan uses it. So the feeling of inadequacy in and of itself, I think, probably 100% of the time, can be used for the greater glory of God. But if we allow ourselves to wallow in it, then Satan's playing us. You know, I probably should have wrote this down before I started talking here, because I am kind of just, you know, spitballing. Like I said, you want a coherent podcast? This is not it. You know, just in case you're wondering. But you know the movie, The Neverending Story? I love this scene, and I can never remember the characters' names. You know, D'Artagnan, maybe? I think that's his name. But he's in this pit, this swamp. And I don't remember the proper name right now, but it's a swamp of despair, where, you know, you can walk through the swamp no problem, as long as you're feeling good, and that you have positive emotions and positive feelings, and you're feeling confident about your goals and where you're going. But the second you start to get, you know, down about your situation and discouraged and lonely and inadequacy without turning it to the greater glory of God and wallowing in these things, you start to sink and you'll never come out of it. In fact, in the movie, the main character loses his horse in the swamp. The horse starts to get lonely and down about the situation and tired. And instead of pushing through the tiredness and pushing through the loneliness, as you and I would do, hopefully, the horse stays in it and he sinks and he's gone. He dies. Satan uses those swamps all the time. And God uses those swamps. And when I say Satan and God, I'm not talking about this dichotomy, this equal back and forth like the yin and yang. Not at all. Satan's lost. That guy lost a long time ago. But he'll still play with us sometimes, hey? He'll still do whatever he can to bring us down and to make us sink into this swamp. But God will use this swamp to teach us perseverance, to teach us strength, to teach us to rise out of adversity so that when that adversity hits us again, that we'll never fall into it. But we'll know with confidence, and the confidence in God himself, and in the power of his resurrection, and the knowledge that the Holy Spirit will use us to our greatest possibilities. There's nothing that limits him. It's just you and I. And the amount that we've acknowledged our own frailty, that we've acknowledged our own inadequacies, and being willing to, instead of wallowing in those inadequacies and failures, or frailties, but to allow God to work in us and through us more capably. Or, you know, God's fully capable. But that the song that he wants to play through us, because of our tweaking and our fine-tuning, will come up more clear and louder. So you and I, we have nothing to give but our dunamis. This action of God, this explosive action of God, that requires you and I to say yes. That's it. Just yes. That yes, and I'm just summarizing here, and that yes also, it also takes into consideration the fact that we've acknowledged our inadequacy, that we've acknowledged this stuff and allowed God to move through us. And so as we say yes over a period of time, this yes becomes more and more stronger. It becomes more and more clear. It becomes more and more louder. So that with great power, with mega dunamis, the apostles, and we put our names in here, with great power, with mega dunamis, you and I gave our testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon us all. Great grace was upon us all. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your great grace that you want to give us. We thank you for this gift of dunamis that requires our effort, that requires our training, our apprenticeship in your kingdom, that it requires us to say yes and yes and yes and yes over and over and over again. And that, thank you, Lord, that the more we say this, the easier it becomes and the more clear and louder your song becomes through us. And so, Father, I pray that whoever's listening to this thing, and whenever they are listening to this thing, I pray that they would be inspired to see in their own life how they have not acknowledged that they've got nothing to give. Show me and anybody listening here that I have nothing to give but you. I have nothing to give but dunamis. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this beautiful gift. And we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've come this far, thank you for listening. Okay? Thank you. And I promise that I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you the same prayer that I'm going to pray for myself and my own kids and my own wife. That with great power, that we would give our testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace will be upon us all. Amen. You have a great day.